Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Saturday, September 23rd, 2017. I am Jason Powell, joined once again by Jake Barnett. Follow Jake online at Barnett Jake on Twitter. Follow the brand at ProWrestlingNet. Normally, Jake gets together with Will Pruitt for the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, but Will is a little bit tied up this week, so he and I are getting together to discuss the WWE No Mercy show, which we will do coming up right after this brief break for non-members. WWE No Mercy, taking place on Sunday night. It will be in Los Angeles, California, at Staples Center. And this is a loaded lineup, Jake. Are you surprised that we're getting, even they are calling it, two WrestleMania-caliber matches on just kind of a more of a random show like No Mercy in September?
Yeah, I think WWE knows that they struggle in September. This time of the year is rough for them, whether it's just a combination of factors, back to school, football starting back up, fall TV season starting back up. There's just a lot going on in this month, and it tends to draw down WWE's live event crowds, their television ratings, the whole shoot and match. And so, no, I'm not really surprised that they tried to load up this show. Did it have much of an effect? I mean, I think they got some higher than usual television ratings, but certainly the live attendances seem to still have suffered through this month, as we've seen, numerous Raw and SmackDown shows with, 40 to 50% full buildings and the like. So it's just another one of those things that WWE is trying to fight against trends, and I don't know how much success they're having thus far.
Hey, as always, you can join me for live coverage of this event, beginning with the needlessly long one-hour kickoff show that will take place at 6 Central, 7 Eastern, coming up on Sunday. And then Jake and I will get together for a member-exclusive audio review on Sunday night. The members are already listening to my audio review of the Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view that took place on Friday. And so a loaded weekend of audio for the members. And then coming up on Monday, Will Pruitt and I will get together on the all-access side, free for everybody. It is the return of ProWrestling.net Live Monday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, your phone calls. PWAudio.net is the place to go, a.k.a. our blog talk website. But at the same time, it's a nice, easy way to get there, PWAudio.net. I have already discussed this show in great detail in the .NET Weekly audio show with Johnny Fairplay. It was a fun show. We talked a lot about Bobby Heenan. He had some personal interactions with Bobby. We also talked about Starrcade going to his area and his level of excitement about that while it's running opposite a show that he headlined as a manager a few years, I believe he said, the WrestleCade event just 30 miles away. So a lot of things that we talked about during a nearly two-hour show. As always, if you're interested in membership to our ad-free site, visit the main page, click into the sign-up area. You can't miss it. Three different pricing options available. It is the ad-free version of the site. It is also the ad-free version of our mobile site. And you get tons of audio content from our nearly 10-year history. Everything we've ever done in audio form is available to the members, including that ROH audio show that I mentioned, as well as Sunday night's WWE No Mercy audio review with Jake and I. Now that the business is out of the way, the reason I mentioned the .NET Weekly audio show, I'm going to be leaning heavily on Jake for this one, since I've already given my predictions there. I will have a piece on the site on Sunday, giving my predictions there as well. So, Jake, you're going to handle the predictions. Let's start at the bottom. Let's save the good stuff for last. Let's go with The Miz against Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental Championship.
I think they got to make this all about the chase. I don't think you can put the championship on Jason Jordan yet, whether it's the Miz Taraj getting involved or him slipping on a banana peel in some other way. I just don't think Jordan is ready to carry the Intercontinental Championship. I think the Miz has a decent story going right now, with what's going on in his personal life and what's going on with the Miz Taraj. I think they're going to keep this story going at least another month or two. So I'm going to predict the Miz to retain here.
Yeah, I think it would be premature to put the title on Jordan. I think that could be harmful to him. They've kind of pulled back a little bit. They had Jeff Hardy take that one title shot that, people were wondering, are they going back to Jordan again? And, I think people seem fine with this. It doesn't seem like they're forcing it too much. But if all of a sudden he wins the championship, then you do run the risk of some sort of a backlash there. I just think that we saw some signs on Monday of Jordan's character taking, getting a little edgy over the fact, and just being frustrated by people talking behind his back and giving him certain looks because he's Kurt Angle's son, that sort of a thing. And so, yeah, I think in order to keep his frustration building, I'm with you. I said I wasn't going to make too many predictions, but on this one I wanted to chime in because I think there's things pointing to The Miz retaining. Neville defending the WWE Cruiserweight Championship against Enzo Amore in what must be a contractually obligated Cruiserweight match on the WWE pay-per-view. Jake, all right, Neville's done great work. Can he carry Enzo to a passable match?
You know, that's really the only interesting thing about this whole entire feud is whether or not Neville is talented enough to carry Enzo to a passable match. Because, I mean, it was clear. I think if there was one area where they needed a lift on 205 Live is they needed some star power, and they needed somebody who could, you know, had jaw with Neville. And I think they felt like Enzo was a good fit for that for whatever reason, due to his size and how well he's been over. I mean, despite all of his off-screen screw-ups. And now, you know, they have to try to make it work in the ring. And, man, I mean, just watching Enzo work is painful at times. And Neville is so smooth. But we'll have to see if Neville can make his offense look like $1 million. I mean, if he can, I mean, there's got to be some trophy waiting for him backstage, I would think. I think Neville wins here, but if he can drag Enzo to a passable match, I think everybody should consider that a victory. And pardon my cell phone there. Sorry about that.
No problem. For a second, I'm like, wow, we have music on the show now. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt, it is not the Demon. The story is that Finn Balor asking Bray Wyatt, is the Demon more dangerous, or is it the man who created the Demon? So I kind of like what he said. I just can't say that I care about this feud. And I feel like I'm saying that now about every single Bray Wyatt feud. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, I think this is it's really a tragedy how far both of these guys have. I mean, Finn Balor isn't even interesting on the main roster, and that includes when he's in the Demon makeup. You know, it's just they have not been able to capitalize since his return from injury on what makes that guy cool, and I don't know that they will. It just doesn't seem like they get it. I don't personally understand why, you know, he wasn't immediately in title contention on his way back. It seemed like they were onto something when they had Paul Heyman go out there and give him a rub, and then they just never quite followed up on it. And now he's here with Bray Wyatt, who is just perpetually talking himself in circles on the microphone about the same stuff, and he just sort of substitutes somebody else's name whenever he switches feud partners. And I think we're sort of in the same boat here. I mean, I'm going to predict a Bray Wyatt victory only because I don't know if they have any other dance partners in mind for either of these two at the moment, but I just can't say I'm particularly enthused about the direction for either guy.
Is Balor a guy you would move to SmackDown?
I mean, maybe. I thought moving, you know, Sami Zayn and some other guys would help, but that doesn't seem to have made any difference at all. So I don't know, you know. Is it really a fix for anybody? Not really. I think the SmackDown creative team is having just as many problems as Raw right now. But
I would argue more.
Yeah, you may be right there. I just don't see either show as is really clicking, unless you're talking about, you know, the best programs going on either one. You know, it seems like there's one program on each show that's on fire, and the rest are, you know, a step or two down. I guess that really depends on how you feel about Cena and Reigns, but I'm not a huge fan of it.
We'll get to that one in just a second here, but let's talk about the Raw Women's Championship match. How can we get five women on the show? Let's just throw them all in one match again. Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Nia Jax, and Emma. I don't even know why Bayley was added from a storyline standpoint, but there she is. And any reason to expect a title change here?
I think there is a decent chance that we see a new champion here, only because I don't know what their competence level is with Alexa Bliss at the moment. It seemed like they were extremely high on her at one time, and she was getting a lot of microphone time, and she was, you know, getting some fairly lengthy segments to get her matches over for pay-per-view. But, you know, they just sort of made the women's division another jumble again, just like it has been on SmackDown for months at a time. So I don't get a strong feeling that WWE knows exactly what to do with any of these women. And it's sort of unfortunate, because it seems like there's a lot more clarity in NXT and the people who are booking the Mae Young Classic about, you know, creating individual personalities and feuds. But they just don't seem to want to put the effort in on the main roster, whether it's too many cooks in the kitchen or just the right people haven't been sold on it. It's just not working right now.
Is Emma in this match to take the pin, or so they can do some shocking thing where she wins?
I think she's in the match to take the pin. Whoever pins her, you know, we'll get the championship. But I don't see them as having any long term plans for her. And I was a fan of Emma, you know, and I think her NXT run in 2015 and sort of her comeback in NXT last year were really interesting and fun. And now, you know, even when I watch her on TV now, it seems like there's just something missing, and I can't really explain what it is.
So who beats Emma?
I'm going to predict Bayley, just because I really, you know, coming back from injury, she's a fresh baby face. They'll probably want to put the title on her, but I don't even think it'll last a month.
And it is worth noting that was the original plan for SummerSlam, was Bayley challenging Bliss. And so if there was some thought about putting the title on her then, only to have her get hurt, well, this might be their way of getting back to that. So that's an interesting selection. We go to the Raw Tag Team title match. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose against Cesaro and Sheamus. Who wins this one?
I'm going to guess they trade the titles again here. I think they had some magic on their hands with the Ambrose and Rollins reunion, and I think they felt like they needed to cement that situation with a title win. But I think Cesaro and Sheamus are, they're the right people to hold the championships at this point, because there's a lot more feud partners lined up for them than there would be for Ambrose and Rollins. So I'm going to guess they recapture the championships, because I think Rollins and Ambrose would be much more interesting on the chase than they are sitting in on commentary every week.
Johnny Fairplay had a good point in .NET Weekly when he said that the reason he picked the champions to retain is that they're playing hot potato with the tag titles on SmackDown, and so he thought on Raw they might try to take a different approach.
That's a fair point. I don't know if they look at the two and see them, you know, as being things that they have to compare and do different things with. I don't know if they book in that fashion, but he may be right. I mean, they may just want to take a different road with that, because it's still a bit too similar. But I think the story lends itself to Sheamus and Cesaro winning, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and to counter that, you know, the flip side of that, I think, is that they keep having Sheamus and Cesaro say that Rollins and Ambrose are, you know, are out for themselves and they're on the verge of cracking as a team. So if they had Sheamus and Cesaro go over, then they could play with that a little bit more. You know, where do these guys stand? Everything was great when they were tag team champions, but now they lost these titles, and one of them obviously had to take the pin. Are they still aligned? So, yeah, I mean, this is one I didn't have a strong feeling about either, and I think you guys both made good points on this. Now we get into the big two. Before we do, I want to ask you on the old 0 to 10 scale, what is your level of enthusiasm for this particular event?
Just the overall event?
Yeah.
I'm going to say a 7, because I'm really excited about the potential of the main event. And I think, despite my reservations about Cena and Reigns, the story, I think Cena and Reigns, the match, could be really good. So I'm looking forward to the show.
Is it odd, Jake, that I'm at about a 7.5? But I think if these were two of the bigger matches on WrestleMania and the rest of the show was adequate, I might be at a 10. In part, you know, it's WrestleMania. You just expect big things. There's something about this being at No Mercy that Yeah, I'm excited by secondary pay-per-view standards. This is about as big as it gets. And, you know, I'm guessing by the time Sunday gets here, my level of enthusiasm will shoot up a little bit more. But it just, I don't know, there's something, because it's not a big four event, where I'm just kind of like, there's not that same level of anticipation for me. Do you share in that, or is it just me being weird?
No, I think you're onto something there. There's big matches on big shows. I guess it allows you to let your guard down a little more about unexpected things happening. And, you know, on No Mercy, I'm just kind of expecting them to build these matches up, and then somehow the status quo isn't really disturbed by either of the outcomes. And so that is kind of what keeps me from getting overly excited about it. But I think you're right. If this was a Survivor Series, or, you know, two matches on a larger card, I think I'd probably edge a little bit higher than a 7.
Any chance that when this is over, we get a couple of screwy finishes of these matches, and we're you and I are talking on Sunday night going, yeah, I wonder if the mindset in WWE is, it was only No Mercy, so we could get away with these cheap finishes.
Yeah, that's kind of the part of it that keeps you from getting overly invested, because there's always that in the back of your mind that's like, well, they're giving us a taste of this now, because they want to, you know, they're moving us into the time of the year where they start to put the pieces together for what the actual major cards are going to look like. And so, you know, these matches are necessary to get them from point A to point Z, and, you know, they're not really all that important in the grand scheme of things. So my guard is still up in terms of the potential for non-finishes and screwy finishes.
Okay, you've said John Cena Roman Reigns isn't really doing it for you. Why is that?
I don't think they've created stakes that make the match particularly interesting. Like, I think they have sort of clued people in that the real philosophical battle between these two isn't what's happening on television. You know, these are two guys that are fighting over, dominance in mind share over the WWE locker room, whether it's Cena, who's sort of the elder statesman at this point, who's, you know, sort of scaling back his role in the company and becoming part-time and trying to move into outside ventures that don't require so much of him physically. And you have Reigns, who is in, you know, Cena's position where he was, you know, however long ago, when he was kind of verbally jousting with The Rock, this several years ago now. And so I think they tried to play on that, but it I don't know how much it clicks with many people, just because there's just so much that's required of you to understand about inside baseball topics that it becomes difficult to to get fully invested in as a more casual fan. Like my wife and daughter are both huge fans of Roman Reigns and John Cena, and they're still completely baffled by why they're supposed to be excited about the match. And I don't think either of them are particularly interested in seeing their heroes deconstructed in this way, you know, where they're both going out there and talking about basically every negative part of their personalities. And I don't know that people really want that kind of exposure to these two characters. They're just not in that. I know there's a huge portion of the audience that wants Reigns to go heel, but I don't know if the casual audience is really a part of that. You know, it's an interesting sort of split, because I see a lot of excitement about the way that this has been portrayed among internet fans, and then you read WWE social media pages and and people are ripping it to shreds. So I don't really know what to believe. I just know that I feel like there could have been a really interesting way for them to put these two together that didn't involve them completely tearing each other down about topics that were mostly meant for, you know, inside fans and people who follow the backstage goings of WWE.
When it came to Rock and Cena, I almost feel like they never lost, even though they kind of took a similar approach in tearing one another down. Either WWE never lost sight of the fact that this is an epic showdown between two megastars, two icons, if you will. Maybe some of that was just, well, that's the obvious perception the fans have of those guys. Where Reigns, yeah, people like him. Has he reached iconic status yet? I would argue no. Approaching it with the success level that he's had. But I just don't think they've done a nice job this time around of pulling back and saying, you know, clearly these guys don't like each other, but then showing us why this is such a huge collision between two huge names, what these guys have accomplished. They showed us the parallel video. It was fine, but they just never made me, they never sold me on this is a mega showdown match. And when you talk, you know, spend years thinking about the first John Cena Roman Reigns match, you would expect them to pull that off, and they just didn't. Who wins this one?
I'm not expecting this to be a series of matches, so I'm going to pick Roman Reigns. You know, I think he's just the right guy. I mean, one of the things that stuck out to me about this feud is that you had John Cena come over from SmackDown, and, you know, from his perspective, he's the legend, and he sees this upstart Roman Reigns trying to, you know, to, I guess, take over, whatever you want to, you know, term it. But, you know, he goes over to Raw and starts punching down in promos and challenging. Like, if they really wanted to make this about Roman Reigns sort of knocking Cena off his perch, you think it would have been the other way around, with Reigns calling him out. And so I think they went about a lot of this backwards. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to see, you know, Reigns earned Cena's respect in the ring, and they have a big bro-off hug at the end of it or something.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I assume that whether it's this show or a future match between them, it's going to be a similar result as Rock and Cena, with Cena hugging Reigns, passing the torch, that sort of a thing. If it happens here, and you might be right, who knows what is going to go down with John Cena's schedule, I'm going to feel like It's gonna feel weird to me. It's like, okay, Reigns beat Cena. If it's fair and square, and they're going for the hug, it doesn't erase John Cena's criticisms, because it hasn't been that he's not a good wrestler. It's been that this guy can't talk. You know, he's not the guy that sells tickets. He's not the leader and all that. Whatever other things John Cena said about him. So it's gonna feel very awkward if they go to that. One of the great things about this show, though, these two big matches, and even, you know, for that matter, the tag title match, I don't lump it in as a big three show. It's definitely a two match show. I don't have a strong feeling about the outcomes of these matches, and I like that. I like going into it really wondering, going, you know, they could go in this direction, but there's this. And so that's one thing that this show really has going for it, is a sense of unpredictability. Now, the betting odds will come out. That may spoil it for some people. I'm just not one of them that's going to pay attention, because I just really want to have that feeling going into this that I don't know what's going to happen. And so I just don't have a strong feeling. Now, that said, Jake, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, main event, Universal Championship. I'm curious to know if you do.
You know, I don't. I think they've set it up so Braun Strowman has looked like an absolute monster, and it was the right decision. I think they've made a lot of good choices when it comes to the promotion of Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. And, you know, I would have preferred if Braun Strowman could have gotten like a last word of sorts in on Lesnar on Monday.
I'm with you.
But it really didn't. They just didn't go that route, and it didn't bother me. It's just like, man, it would have been nice if he could have gotten one good last jab in before they were finished with that promo. But honestly, I think they've made their point. I think Strowman has been completely fearless. I think he has manhandled Lesnar at pretty much every opportunity. I mean, they've set it up to where, you know, it's very believable that Braun Strowman could beat Brock Lesnar and capture his championship. That's really not my prediction, though. I think they're going to have a hell of a match, but I'm either expecting a Lesnar victory here, or I'm expecting some shenanigans that will propel Strowman into his next feud, because I still believe that the WrestleMania plan is Reigns defeating Lesnar and capturing that championship, and I don't think they're going to derail that at this point.
Yeah, I think that's the direction this is all going, and I mean, we'll see. There's still time, but every time they want to go back to that match, I just roll my eyes, feeling like it's not the match that people want to see. I think this match sells Mania better, but that's been Vince's plan. We'll see if he moves away from it, but I'm with you. I don't think he's going to. I brought up the scenario, and it's one that I also don't want to see. Well, Bray Wyatt gets involved in this and somehow prevents Strowman from winning, and that's Braun's next feud due to their history. Any thoughts on that? There's been no foreshadowing which is nice. So my guard was up for it. Like, I don't know, they're going to do something, and then we're going to know that Bray's going to interfere in this. But there, at least there hasn't been that, Jake.
Yeah, it's something that I've thought about, and I think you brought it up in the past. He's probably going to end up beating Finn Balor. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he got involved in the main event. It wouldn't be, the end of the world, but I think, you run the risk of really cooling off Braun Strowman with a feud with Bray Wyatt, because it's a very cerebral kind of story that Bray Wyatt likes to tell. And I there's a lot of times where I do my best to follow along and listen to him and try to grasp the subtext of what he's trying to say and sort of catch the themes. But I don't know that a lot of people do. And I think a lot of times his promos just kind of come across as run-on sentences that you can kind of tune out in the middle of and sort of catch a few key words and be done with. So I don't know if that's a great fit for Strowman. Like, he's a man of few words. He just goes down and destroys people. Maybe if the idea is that Strowman is just going to absolutely, beat the tar out of Bray Wyatt, that could be interesting. But I don't really see that being, if they're going to have a feud with him, it's going to be, Bray trying to wrestle psychological control back over Braun, who, was part of his faction for, X period of time.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. I just have sooner or later, you got to think they're going to get to it. If Braun were to win the championship here or somewhere down the road and that was the first feud, okay, fine. Because then, all right, Braun's probably going to destroy Bray, just as the champion usually beats his first challenger, and nobody gets all that fired up about it. But yeah, this could damage Braun. If they do go in that direction, it could cool him off, because let's face it, everyone who works with Bray seems to cool off a little bit. It's really sad, at least when it comes to his feuds. I guess just a few more quick rapid-fire style questions for you, Jake. John Cena, Roman Reigns, who gets cheered? Who do the majority of the fans in Staples Center cheer for?
I think they're going to cheer for John Cena. I think Roman Reigns has been poorly handled to the point as a character where, I think Cena is going to get the majority of the reaction. Not only, is he a long-term superstar who I think, despite at one time in his career having quite negative reaction, I think he's won most people over by this point, and Reigns has not. And so I think it's going to be probably split in some ways, at various points in the match, depending on what's going on. But I'm assuming the louder reactions are going to belong to Cena.
Lesnar, Strowman, same question.
Oh, I think Strowman is going to get cheered out of the building, especially if he starts tossing Lesnar around. I think people, despite people's resistance to the idea of big men dominating professional wrestling, I think there is something special about watching two giants just beat the crap out of each other. And Strowman is just one of those guys. Everything he does looks great, or at least it has in recent memory. And Lesnar is just one of those guys who rarely shows vulnerability. And so having a guy, manhandle him in a match is going to be something to behold.
Over under, I'll let you set the time of the Lesnar Strowman match.
I would put it at, I'm going to say, 14 minutes plus or minus 3 or 4.
I was going to say 8 minutes.
You're that short, huh? Okay.
Well, as an over-under mark, because Lesnar matches do tend to go fairly short. Now, I guess the last one, there was a lot of fighting before the bell with Owens is one I remember something. Or was that the Owens match? Which one did he have the fight before the bell?
Yeah, I think it was Owens.
Okay, yeah. So, I guess, yeah, that one was a little longer. Maybe I'm coming up a little shy on this, but that one's, I just don't know how long they're going to want to keep those two big men out there. I guess it depends what they have in mind for a finish, too. And final question, going back to Cena and Reigns, what is the percent chance that, given some of the comments there, the one memorable comment that John Cena made, we see Undertaker on Sunday?
I think that's a fairly low possibility. I as much as they have used The Undertaker to sort of drive a wedge in certain stories, I don't think he's coming back. I think you know, WrestleMania was really it. I mean, he might make some appearances, but I don't expect to see him as part of a story unless it's, you know, another WrestleMania.
Well, very good. Join me for live coverage of No Mercy on Sunday. Don't forget ProWrestling.net Live coming up Monday, 3 Central, 4 Eastern, PWAudio.net. Take care.